The Volume.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on-demand, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. So whether you want to catch the game live or watch the latest blockbuster, they've got you covered. And there's no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
Everybody, it's Harvey Levin. You know TMZ.com and our television shows for breaking news, big stories all over the world. Well, we are now doing it in a podcast. We're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where we're going to dig deeper into the stories that we break and follow on the website. So you can check out our podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check it out, the TMZ podcast, now available on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love. With or without Valentine's Day, it's important to celebrate all the special people in your life, including yourself. So treat them and yourself to a little something from Third Love. Their luxurious bras, underwear, and ultra-soft sleepwear hug better, support longer, and love you right back, which make them perfect to show your appreciation. And for a little me time, upgrade to pieces that love your body as much as you do. And right now, get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/pod.
The J Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, are you taking the overs, the unders? They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume, presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
How about that ride in? We're here in Las Vegas.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, we're here in Las Vegas. The Wolfpack is back. Blood Brothers, we appreciate you guys joining us on the Volume YouTube channel. We are in Las Vegas at the Aria Hotel, where it is the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame induction for the 2020 class, the 21 class. They're giving out awards for the season. There's already been some info trickling out here. We have a ton of guests coming now. Tomorrow, we will be back live in Atlanta. I know I told you we're going live today, but we have so many guests. Eric Dickerson, David Pollack, I mean, Vince Dooley. I mean, everybody's here. It's a who's who. All right? I feel like I'm at the Oscars or something. But it doesn't suck, though. But so I do want everybody to know out there, we've got an unbelievable show planned. Interviews. We're going to talk about Mario Cristobal as the U back, talk a little playoff. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that notification button, and we are going back live tomorrow, I promise you guys. But shout out to the Booster Club. We're out here repping for the Booster Club, the greatest grassroots movement since the French Renaissance or A Bug's Life. Those are two of my favorites.
Either
probably
one.
The Bug's Life
okay.
One is two of my favorite. But and we'll get to the rest of the show here shortly. I want to start. And I know we've talked Mario. We talked a little bit yesterday. Is the U back? Is the U back? And here's where I stand on it. They're going to be better than what they were because he's going to be able to recruit at a very high level. He's going to put a good staff around him. He's going to be able to recruit at a very high level. And at the end of the day, this game comes down to players. Now, there's questions about his in-game coaching. You'll hear that from multiple places. You look at Utah, Kyle Whittingham, you know, taking him out to the woodshed twice, did win a Rose Bowl at Oregon. But when I look at what Mario Cristobal can bring to Miami, they'll get better up front. And that is the great separator. You look at what separates the SEC from everybody else. It's not the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's not the running backs. It's up front. It's the offensive line and the defensive line. And Mario Cristobal, a former lineman himself, his specialty is bringing in big-time linemen. And in Miami, all you need is a spark. So to me, I call him the prodigal son, call him, you know, the chosen one at Miami. We feel like that's always the narrative. People were saying that about Manny Diaz. But this is the guy. This is the guy. To me, I think it was a great hire. I think it was a home run hire. And yes, I think the U will be back. But what does that mean? Do I think Miami will win a national championship every 3 years? No. Mm-hmm. But Miami will be back to being physical. They'll be relevant. And it gives you another team in the ACC. And I know Clemson was down this year. It gives you another team in the ACC that I think will be good. And if that happens, like I think it's going to happen, it's good for the game. Because yep. The better Miami is, the better Florida State's going to be.
Yes.
Because they're going to have to match it. You already look now, since Mario Cristobal got hired, Florida State's all over social media trying to, you know, gas it up. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid, whatever. Florida gets Billy Napier as well. But a good college football has a good Miami, and a good Miami gives a better chance for a good FSU and vice versa.
What better time is there to come into Miami right now?
No.
You got the the holy trinity of Florida. The other two are down right now. I think Billy Napier's going to do a good job at Florida, but Florida State's down. Okay, and then Clemson finally had a down year with the dynasty that they've created. What a great time to come into Miami. I think that it's a good hire. I think that he is going to do something similar to what Pete Carroll did on the West Coast. He's going to have the Keyshawns there, right?
Yeah.
The Ed Reed. Like, he's going to have these guys there on the sideline, in the locker room, giving speeches. It's going to be fun to play there again. My question is, what are the foundational issues, and can they be overcome? Like I said the other day, anytime you're hiring a coach and an AD at the same time, and you kind of were wondering if you should even fire the coach who was there, a lot of last-minute stuff. Now, what I've been told from the Miami sources is nothing here was knee-jerk. This was the plan all along. Just kind of stumbled at the finish line to go get your coach. But at the end of the day, there's only so few guys out there who can take you to an elite level.
And you know, they'll say that, and look, I don't doubt that it wasn't knee-jerk, but I don't think it was handled very well by Miami.
No,
clearly.
You know, Manny Diaz, you know, not only did you get fired, you found out at the end of the day, you were really the side chick. And that's the toughest part. But at the end of the day, say what you want. You got the guy you wanted. Mm-hmm. As ugly as it was. There's been a lot of home runs hit on 0-2 counts, fellas.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of home runs hit on 0-2 counts. And that's what Miami did here. But do I think again, and I'll go back to it, what does being back mean? Being back means you're back relevant again.
Yeah.
You're back relevant in the ACC. You're back relevant in the national picture. And you do that through recruiting. Now, One other caveat we have to say here. It looks like a billionaire in Miami, I think John Ruiz is his name, is going to build an on-campus stadium.
Okay.
That would be huge. Look, I coach at South Alabama. I know what it's like to have to drive 30 minutes downtown to have to go play a home game. It's not super conducive. I mean, you look at out west on the West Coast, people having to, you know, go to the Rose Bowl and stuff like that, Coliseum, whatever. Like, at the end of the day, that on-campus stadium would be as big, in my opinion, as hiring the coach.
Yep.
And if they get that done, and they'll get it done the way they want, Miami is going to be a problem, I'm just telling you.
What's Miami? Bad boys, which that's what they need.
Yeah.
Miami's an image school. That's what they need. They're bad boys, dog. They don't take any shit from nobody. The defense is legitimate, and Mario kind of fits that narrative going in there. And if Mario can bring that image back, right, and Miami can have success early, if they have success early, almost every kid somewhat wants to go to Miami.
Yeah, look.
Mario run recruiter of the year in 2015, a couple Pac-12, you know, division championships, and that's fine. But Mario can recruit, and he can recruit guys up front. And Miami, you are not limited to speed to skill players in Miami.
Yeah.
They are in Florida. They are everywhere. Walk outside, there are probably four of them sitting
just
outside your
Florida.
Front yard.
Yeah,
they're
you
everywhere.
Gotta leave,
don't
and
leave
Mario,
Belgrade.
Mario
you gotta leave
can,
them up.
Can recruit up front, and the biggest thing for Miami is they need that image back. They need that status back, because once you get that status back, you start that funnel. And once you start that funnel, next thing you know, you're down the season, you look back at two national championships.
Yeah, well, look, there's an old saying, perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
All they need is a little momentum.
Yeah.
Miami isn't a school that you've got to take it, dump it on its head, change your identity, who are we know when Miami is good, how they do it. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't – you don't have to be Nicolas Cage from National Treasure and go in Philadelphia and wait for the sun
he
to
was
hit
smart,
a certain
though.
Brick, you know, and hit the brick. Like, wow, it's Mario Cristobal, you know. Or this is how we got to do it. There is no secret. So, do I think Mario Cristobal can take Miami to places they haven't been in a while? You are dadgum right I do,
yes.
And it's great for college football.
A quick word on the on-campus stadiums. You know, this isn't as big of a deal in the NFL. It's fine if the Giants and the Jets, you know, being in New York, want to play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Right, they're professionals,
they play
but this is what makes the college game so great is that on-campus atmosphere, and maybe some big cities kind of miss out on that. I think about going to Ann Arbor; everything was based around not only the football program and that university, but even that stadium where it's located. So I think that would be a home run decision in terms of the recruits and making Miami feel like, hey, this is where we play our home football games, and we're going to gain an advantage from it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Booster Club, obviously, we want to know what you guys are thinking. I know we're not live, but I can feel you guys in the chat right now.
I feel
now.
Them, too.
I can feel you guys in the chat going at each other, and probably me as well. But I tell you what, David Pollack has a certain report card grade that he gave the Miami hire. I think you guys are going to find interesting. And guess what? You didn't pass. So that's about, I guess, the way you look at it, the certain way you look at it, and how bad that letter grade really was. But make sure you guys stick with us there. Got a great show as well. Again, we are live. Now, pre-recorded, as you're seeing it, from the Aria Hotel, National Football Foundation, 2020 Hall of Fame inductees, 2021 Hall of Fame inductees as well. Got the awards dinner tonight. They're giving out awards. It's fantastic. We are going to be live, truly live, tomorrow, back home, getting on the plane early, getting on the red eye, and gonna find our way back home. So appreciate you guys, and let's move on. Look, our next guest needs no introduction. He's on the intro. One of my favorite guys in the world to interview. Was one of the best defensive ends of all time. That's why he's going into the Hall of Fame. You can catch him on ESPN, all over college football. One of my favorite guys to listen to. First off, DP, you know I got love for you, brother. I want to say congratulations.
Thank
to
you, brother.
Man.
Nobody
deserves it more than you do.
Eh, whatever. Man,
yeah,
let's get the football.
Well, yeah,
let's talk about something
this
else.
This is why he's my guy. But anyways, let's talk about it. Playoff, top four. How do you feel about it?
I'm good with it. I would have been fine if Michigan was one, too. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I think they were making a statement with that Iowa game. They want to continue. I don't think anybody had any bones about Iowa being a top team in college football. So I think Alabama beating the number one team the way they did, as handily as they did, and we all thought they were the number one team, and Georgia has been. By the way, they have been. There's no debate.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of the people now that say Georgia doesn't belong in the college football playoff. Those are the funny guys
that Kirby
are,
should be fired.
Either or, those are the funny guys, I think, that haven't seen the whole season or just forget.
Yeah.
Oh, now let's just start pointing to wins and what they didn't do. Yeah. And but no, I think Alabama earns the one seed. And listen, I don't care if you rematch in the semifinals. I don't give a crap. That doesn't bother me. Like, you got to win twice, whoever it is. If it's Alabama, you got to beat Georgia. If you got to beat them in the Natty or beat them in the semifinals, so be it. But Cincinnati, your Cincinnati Bearcats, hey, they wanted that smoke, and now they get the blue blood, the GOAT
with
at QB.
No opt-outs. This isn't the Meineke Let's Be Best Friends.com Bowl.
Correct.
You know, this one matters, and you're going to see it. But this Alabama-Georgia game, you know, and again, to me, Alabama-Georgia has become one of the low-key best rivalries we have in the sport because you have two of the most elite rosters in college football. But, you know, DP, I'm not a trends guy, man. I'm not a guy that's like, well, this happened the past 4 years, so it's definitely going to happen this year. New team, new circumstance. But that's five, man.
Yep.
Like, when I look at, is it something mental? Am I just missing it? Or is it just Alabama and Nick Saban continuing to find ways and use that, you know, quote-unquote rat poison? Nick Saban invents the term.
Yummy.
Then uses the term against the people he invented it to stop. It's unbelievable.
That's true, Saban, right there.
Is it, like, subconscious? Or?
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about every single matchup with Alabama and Georgia. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? There's clearly one thing that's different every year they play.
Quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kirby's figured out how to be the best recruiter in the country. He hasn't figured out the quarterback spot. He hasn't gotten that guy. Bryce Young did it. Like, he did it by himself.
But what do you say about Jake Fromm, though? It wasn't him that gave up the touchdown pass.
Jake Fromm was very average. Jake Fromm was a – let's be honest.
I'm not saying he's elite, but they were right there.
Jake Fromm was really, really good. Jake Fromm is what Stetson is. He's a game manager.
Okay.
He was never a guy that was going to go out and win you a natty. Bryce Young, Tua Tagovailoa, they make those – off-schedule, off-script plays.
Heisman that
you,
plays.
But you can't coach it. Like, you can't – I can't teach you how to stop that. You know, once they start having success, you blitz Bryce Young. He makes two people miss. Nolan Smith breaks a Travion Walker play and then flips it backwards.
Yeah.
Just flips it backwards. Like, it's been the quarterback spot. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, they've got to do a better job of addressing that spot. I like Stetson Bennett. I love Stetson Bennett. I think he's a great – I think he's a really, really good player. But he's not a player that you say, how do you beat a team that's all-time best front seven we've ever seen? I throw it every play. I don't care about the run game. I wear them out. Like, I dink and dunk. I scramble. I make plays. Get another first down. Like, it was a clinic. It was an unbelievable job by Alabama. But more importantly, Bryce Young won a Heisman off of that game.
He did. And to me, it's like watching that point guard that you try and double in basketball, and he splits it, and there's nobody there to stop him. Or he throws the alley-oop behind his head because nobody's covering the four. But, you know, DP, too, you hear a lot of people talking about, you know, well, JT needs to be the guy. When I'm looking at it, to me, if JT was the guy, he would have got in that game.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm talking about – Kirby and them are not going to not play the best player, especially at the quarterback position. If he was that good, we'd have seen him, right?
Well, and it's just
that,
like,
healthy, whatever.
Well, and it's just like Justin Fields. Justin Fields wasn't even on Jake Fromm's level as a freshman because he didn't know the playbook. He didn't know protections. Like, Georgia asks you to do all that stuff. You go to Ohio State, you're running zone reads, and they call the protections for you every time. Like, calling the play from the sidelines, it's a different animal. So I think Justin would have gotten there 100%, but it would have taken time. JT's not Stetson. Stetson's got everybody in that locker room's back. Everybody loves him. Dude has a flip phone. He doesn't even have an iPhone, by the way. That makes me love him even more.
Yeah.
But he just he gives you the running threat. Now, listen, I'll say this. With this offense, I said Stetson's the best guy because he can run and gives you mobility, and the offensive line wasn't that good. I thought they actually protected Stetson pretty well.
I thought they did, too.
Will Anderson was pretty quiet. Like, I thought they did a pretty good job. So, listen, I think JT's a good player. I do. I think he's – but I don't think JT's that dude either. Yeah. He ain't Bryce Young. And I still think you need some form of a run. By the way, we saw a healthy JT Daniel against Clemson.
Yeah.
You saw that. So and they scored 3 points offensively.
Well, I saw him bring him in, and it escapes me right now. Maybe it was the Arkansas game, and I watched him throw a slant 3 feet behind the wide receiver that got picked
up.
He's been banged up, and I get that. But like you, at the end of the day, if you're ready and you're healthy to play and you're the guy, then you'd have seen him probably after the pick six from Jordan Battle, in my opinion. When I didn't see him then, that's when I was like, whatever. But a couple more questions for you. I know you're a busy man today in Vegas, the Wolfpack, as I mentioned. I'm gonna say new coaching hires. Can you give me a report card grade A to F? Just what you think on
sure.
it. That's cool. Oklahoma and Venables.
B.
Mario and Miami.
D.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know. I just spent all that money. I think Oregon was pretty happy not to spend all that money, by the way. Mm. Cristobal is an elite recruiter. I've said it for years, and I'll continue to say it. The game-ending situations, he's struggled with mightily. They have more talent than everybody in their league right now. So why can't they go win that league? Why? They just got punched in the face over and over and over again by Utah and had no answer. Like, I'm not spending that much money if I'm Miami. Listen, I know he's the prodigal son. He comes home, mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
And I think
he'll recruit well, but I don't think it's something that I'm paying that much money for, and I'm changing everything I have.
Brian Kelly, LSU.
I say B+.
Okay.
B+ to an A-. Southern accent was an F. That wasn't a good start.
My family.
But I'll say this: BK is a heck of a coach.
He is. And he's going to do it his way.
He'll do it his way, and he'll let you know it's his way.
Yep.
He's got a brash personality. Okay, for example, listening to him talk to the coach to the basketball team. I haven't even won a game yet. I would love for you to be a we guy, not an I guy.
Yeah.
Like, I would love for us to start, you know, my staff. We're going to put together a great staff. You know, he's in the process right now, and I know a bunch of people there of recruiting his players. And I would say the players that are there, just watch. It will be a mass exodus. There will be a lot of people leave because he's a different bird. He's been physical. He's been tough. He finds ways to win.
Even on the sideline.
And by the way. Yeah. And by the way, kudos to Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly didn't duck the SEC.
You know who the last one's going to be. Brian Kelly's like this.
He's walking in the arena like this and saying, bring it right here. I want to play Alabama with great players. I want to play Georgia with great players.
Even playing field.
Yeah, that's why he went there. He didn't go there for money. Money was great. He'd have got more money at Notre Dame. He's made plenty of money. He went there because he wanted all that smoke, and I love that.
Yeah, I do too. Talk about it all the time. Speaking of that, opposite end of the spectrum, from, you know, doses and mimosas, Lincoln Riley going to USC. What you think?
Here's the thing. I still think it's an A or a B minus. And I say that because USC has such a great brand. And Lincoln Riley brings – look at his recruiting, dude. He's got so much behind – when he walks in a recruit in the living room, he's like, hey, bro, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, do you want a Heisman?
Here.
Do you want to be number one? Okay, here's the – just sign right here.
Yeah.
Like, we'll worry about this later. Like, he's just got so much – listen, Bob Stoops handed him a Ferrari. Bob Stoops handed him an unbelievable program. He's going to have to prove he can build it. But I'll say this. The further they got away from Bob Stoops' players, the less physical they were. Early in the career,
I agree with that.
In the trenches, they were some tough, hit you in the face kind of guys. They run the football worse and worse. Again, he went to the Pac-12 for a reason.
Yep.
And he deserves an A just for his contract. I just want to borrow the jet occasionally, bro.
That's like, the best part.
Give me some of that.
It's like, hey, we got to go to Walmart. We only got 8 minutes. Oh, wait, let me get in the G4.
I mean, it's that good for him.
Yeah, him and Professor X taking turns taking the jet.
And by the way, I'm going into coaching. I'm leaving next year.
I'm thinking, but you want to start a team?
Let's go.
Let's go to Bishop Sycamore and turn it around.
Amen. I want to get fired.
We'll do it. Yeah, for sure. That's all. When I was in coaching, my goal was just get to my first buyout.
Yes.
Just get to my first buyout. You want to fire me?
How'd that work for you?
We'll shake hands. I don't know. I think I made a good decision. I'm starting to think I made a good decision. But no, last question, and I got to give you props here. You made a prediction before the season. Talking about the prodigal son here. Said Georgia would lose to Bama in the SEC championship game.
Yep.
And win the Natty?
And beat him in the Natty.
Beat Alabama in the Natty.
In the rematch.
You still feeling it?
I'm going to stick. I feel less confident after watching that game the other day. I feel less confident in Georgia. But I do think if you saw the second half, I do think Georgia's defense played better. Now, John Metchie didn't play either, which was a big loss for Alabama. But I thought they became more aggressive, blitzed more, and had a lot more success. And here's the thing. Kirby's lost to Nick a lot. And then guess what happens with Georgia? Because Georgia plays in the SEC and they play Bama in the championship, they go to 5 and they watch. They don't get to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, now you get some of that yummy rat poison for the next month. So I think it's going to work out well for Georgia. I think they'll have a better plan offensively. Now I think you know what Bill O'Brien's going to do. And now I think it's about better players and it's about who's properly motivated. I think Georgia will be motivated. Does my boy
There was talk of a wager.
You're not allowed to talk on this set, okay?
I was about to.
I'm squeezing
it. You know what? Come sit right here.
Listen, there is a battle brewing in Miami, Dave, okay?
Yes, there is.
The alma mater.
So all right?
And as we sit here in Las Vegas, You said there was talk of a wager.
You name it. You pick it, I pick it.
I don't know. Maybe there's a dunking booth situation at his charity event next summer.
Maybe it's something at the golf tournament. Let's get creative. I don't know.
Something at the golf tournament would be solid. I like that.
Run it through his
Y'all
charity.
Need to set up at the golf
my
tournament.
Boys are going to bring the ruckus.
Do the show from the golf tournament.
Let's do it.
And you can give me a formal apology, and you can sing the Georgia you can sing the Georgia fight song, and
so you'll sing Hail to the Victors if it's the other way.
I actually know that one. You don't know Georgia's fight song.
I don't, but I'll learn it.
All right, so are we talking straight up win?
I don't
like
want
money line win.
I don't want the points.
You don't want the points. You don't want the points.
No, and we'll get into this.
He doesn't want the points.
I don't want the points.
No, he doesn't want the points.
I respect it.
Did I take the points with Ohio?
No.
I'll tell you like I said.
He won't call him Ohio State.
I know.
I'll tell him like I told the fans. Everything Michigan wanted was on the other side of Ohio. Until you beat them, you can't win the division. Until you win the division, you can't win the conference. Until you win the conference, you can't make the playoff. And look how we sit. The wins come in bunches if you can get over that hump.
Here's the thing. I'll give you all a lot of credit. Just Harbaugh taking less money and what he had to do and go through that. And to be where they're at, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's a great matchup, and I'm not sure you feel real confident about the matchup either. But
no.
I do like the way you're pounding your chest. Mm-hmm. I do like the conviction you have.
I don't know if I'll get another opportunity, Dave.
Okay. Correct.
Hey, as I sit here today, I have a three-month-old son, and he's now seen the Braves win the World Series,
Michigan
beat Ohio, and make the playoff. It's all downhill from here
for
him.
Sure.
So I don't want to hear any complaints as a teenager.
Listen, the Braves will college in 30 years.
That's amazing.
We'll make it happen, man.
Okay.
We'll make it happen.
I'm in.
Hey, congrats again, brother.
Appreciate you.
It's always great talking to you.
J-Boy, signing off.
You already know. Yeah, J-Boy signing off with our boy David Pollack, Hall of Famer. Just add him to another one.
Congrats,
I think he's in like six Hall of Famers.
Thank you, dude.
Really proud
of
you.
We appreciate you taking some time.
Keep killing it, dog.
Hey, trying to get like y'all. I'll catch you on the
tube. Get that buyout, brother. Get that buyout. Let's go get it.
Coming soon. Bishop Sycamore. All right, excited to be joined by Auburn quarterback Bo Nix, getting better every day, healing every day. Bo, as usual, my brother, it's great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. All the way from Vegas, I see. So y'all are having a great time. But yes, back over here at home, just doing rehab, doing treatment, getting better each and every day.
Yeah, you know the wolf pack, you know, I'm like a one-man wolf pack, but then I added more to my wolf pack. So that's kind of the situation we're in right now. But, Bo, look, you know, and I'm just going to ask you this off the top because I want to move on and talk some football stuff because I don't think anybody asked the players enough about stuff going on in football, as funny as that sounds. Been reports out of there, this, that, and the other. My question is, you know, from a decision standpoint, has your timeline changed? You know, has anything changed with that, or is it the same thing that we've been talking about, you know, when we've had you on the past couple weeks?
Yeah, it's really the same thing that we've been talking about. I've discussed it before, and there's been some different rumors out there, but my timeline has not changed. I'm finishing up finals and papers this week and trying to work towards graduation on Saturday, so I have a few more things I need to turn in, and then I'll be ready to go for graduation. And then, like I mentioned, just doing treatment each and every day, a couple times a day, trying to get back to where I can be functional again and move around and get to walking before I get to running. And then hopefully that'll be next, but trying to figure all this kind of stuff out before I make any kind of decision.
Yeah. How is it, Bo? I mean, how is the ankle?
It's good. Actually, my physical therapist and the doctors say that it looks really good and it looks, it has progressively gotten better. As I've kind of started treatment, once I've got out of that soft cast, got the stitches out, that's really when I kind of got to start moving pretty quickly with the icing and with movement, range of motion, stuff like that. And then now I'm progressively moving towards walking on crutches and getting closer to where I can walk fully and then maybe start some stuff on like the treadmill in the pool and start doing some stuff like that where it's not a bunch of weight bearing, but I'm moving and getting back to the flow of things.
Definitely. Well, look, I want to get to some football because I want to get your thoughts on some stuff. Again, I appreciate you answering that question. There's a lot of rumors, innuendo out there, but this is the man. This is, you heard it from him. Like this is from Bo. You know, it's like that show we always talk about. This is us.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. But, all right, Bo, I got to ask you, as a player right now, as a guy that could play another year in college, has that opportunity, you've heard about the expansion to a 12-team playoff. What do you think about that? What's like the Bo Nix thought on expanding to 12?
Well, I think there's pros and cons in both. I think we've seen since we've moved from the BCS to the bowl or to the playoff system, how that's ended up benefiting and that's ended up working out. You only added, really, when you look at the one more extra game for a championship team, which isn't too bad. It's not terrible for those guys that are coming off the conference championship, going to a playoff, and then going to the championship. You know, that extra game hasn't been too catastrophic, had any extra injuries or anything negative towards that. If anything, it gave us an extra game for guys to compete and go and play and show what they can do against a great opponent. I think expanding, you look at a few different things. You look at the positives where you are giving a number 11 team in the country a chance to play in the playoff like any other sport. You're making it more like it is in high school and in the pros, where, you know, it give a lot more teams a chance, because maybe they started playing better at the end of the year than what they played at the beginning of the year. Maybe they had some injuries at the beginning. Maybe that their schedule was tougher. Anything like that, that you're giving a team an extra chance. But then you look at the 12 teams. You know, football is a physical contact sport. A lot of guys like, say you're in the SEC or another conference that is very physical and you have a lot of wear and tear on your body, then that can start adding up. You know, you're taking a guy like, we'll just use last year, for example, a guy like Najee Harris. If you add 3-4 more games to Najee's schedule, how does that impact him moving forward to be in a top pick in the league to go to the Steelers? So how does that work for a running back who's getting hit every single time he touches the ball, as opposed to a kicker? Of course, maybe their positions are different, and their position would say different things regarding their physical like outtake on a game.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to look at it from that point of view. I don't think it's a good or a bad thing. I just think it's something to look into. So these guys, like the running backs and the O-line, D-line, linebackers that are hitting over and over and over, well, now you're asking them to play 3 extra games in a season. And if you look at Alabama, they've played in several consecutive playoffs. That's 12 extra games that they could play in their college career. And so that's a lot. When you look at it from that point of view, when you add things like that, because those running backs, linebackers, they're trying to make it as long as they can in the league. And every once in a while, you can get in a position that it starts becoming hurtful to those guys. Now, if you take it back and you want to shorten the regular season, okay, that's something to talk about too. Everything like that is it's got a lot going in. You know, there's a lot to look into. But I think whatever decision is made, it will benefit college football, and it'll people will make it work, just like they've made this 4-team playoff work.
No, I agree. Remember, we're going to have to get another chair up here for Bo.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Bo, a couple more questions. We're going to get you out of here. I'm going to ask you straight up. Should Cincinnati be in? Should Cincinnati be the number 4 team, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I think they've proven that they're one of the 4 best teams in the country. They have not lost a game. They've won by several big margins. When you look at the teams that they have played, like they played Notre Dame, beat them pretty good this year. Notre Dame was considered a top 5, top 6 team, maybe even entering the playoff if some teams ended up shaking out the way it did. Notre Dame could have even found themselves in the playoff. So I think Cincinnati definitely had the track record, and they played themselves into the game. Now, if they had lost, maybe slipped up 1 week, maybe we'd be saying something different. But the fact that they went undefeated, took care of their business, won like they should have, I think they proved that they should be in the playoff. And I think it also helps that they that they played as good as they did against Georgia last year in the bowl game. I think that helped them.
That's a good point too, Bo. And look, as a guy that's played against Alabama, you understand what Alabama is, how they play, who they are, this, that, and the other. Do you think Cincinnati has a shot to beat them?
I do. I think that any team in the playoff, you have a shot. Whenever you play another team, you have a shot to beat them. I think they're veteran enough at certain places, and they have a solid team to where they're going to go in there and play. And I think, like I said, playing Georgia like they did last year, it's going to give them confidence. And anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. That's always important to note. But as we've seen, Alabama is a very good team. Alabama can turn it on when they want to and score a gazillion points and shut people down on defense. So I haven't watched as much of Cincinnati as I have Alabama, just because of film study that I did this year.
Obvious reasons.
For opponent teams, for obvious reasons. But I do think the four teams in the playoff, I think that either team could end up winning and have a successful playoff run. But now they're going to have to come to play. I'm not saying it's just going to be easy, and I'm not saying that that should happen. But I do think that either team has a given chance of winning the game.
Definitely. Well, Bo, man, I appreciate it. We're going to get you back. You know we always are going to bring you back because I'm going to ask you, if you have time, I know you're a busy man, you got finals coming up, big decision. I may have to get your five best bowl matchups. We talk about it at the end here, but we may have to, you know, maybe a little extra. Sure. I graduated maybe a homework assignment from the J-Boy show. I don't know if you're down with that. You know, whatever. But, man, we're going to have to get you back on and talk some of these bowl matchups, man. That was fantastic.
Absolutely. I always love talking football. Just from an analytical point of view. I am a communication major. So,
Me too. Welcome to One of Us.
It's in there in the back of my mind. So not only am I enjoy football, but I love talking about it too. So that is always fascinating. But I do appreciate you guys. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week.
Definitely, Bo. I appreciate it, buddy. Keep healing up. We'll talk to
you
soon.
Will do. See you.
All right, so we know the bowl matchups now, and there are some delicious and juicy entrees that we're going to get throughout the bowl season. This is why, and you know, Ken, we've talked about it. Growing up in the era that we grew up, we're around the same age, playing not too far behind us, bowl games were huge.
Oh, the lifeblood of college football.
You used to just, it was like Christmas morning every morning because you got football all the time. You got matchups you're not used to seeing. But there's five I really want to focus on. I'm going to let you read them out, and for different reasons. So we try to diversify the portfolio. And no, we're not going to pick one of the four playoff games, guys. That'd be the lamest thing of all time. So these are my top five, our top five bowl games outside of the four games in the playoff. And yes, sitting down like this without anything in front of me, I'm going to continue to talk on my hands.
You have to. Let's go 5-1, and let's start with UCF in Florida.
Okay, when this got announced, number one, everybody in Florida is super jacked and tan about Billy Napier coming to town. But you could not get a worse matchup. Not saying that I think UCF's going to beat Florida. But if you're Florida, you got nothing to gain.
Yeah.
You have nothing to gain. It's like Auburn playing in a bowl game against UAB. If you beat them, you're supposed to beat them. You're the state school. You're the big bad wolf. But if you lose, it kills you in recruiting. Mm-hmm. And you'll never live it down as a fan base for 100 years. UCF wins this game. I don't care if Billy Napier got hired the day before. I don't care if the players were coaching and we had a Jackie Moon situation going on. That, to me, is a total lose-lose for Florida and a tough spot for Coach Napier coming in there. But again, you got to play the game. It is what it is, and I know why they did it. So guys like us would talk about it like this. So when I look at a game like this and you wonder, people always ask, and I'll use an example, why doesn't Auburn play Troy? Why don't they play UAB? You have nothing to gain.
Nope.
Nothing to gain. It's like LSU and Lafayette. You've got nothing to gain and everything to lose. So to me, it makes it super.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Firestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Firestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Intriguing, and you know UCF's going to get up for it. You know Florida's going to get up for it. Mm-hmm. But the outcome of this game, you want to talk about a tone setter? Cool. And people say, oh, you got to give Billy Napier a pass for game one. Florida fans are too excited to be giving out passes. There are no hall monitors walking around Gainesville right now.
So you don't
What say you guys?
Look, I'm excited to see it. I want to see if Gus Malzahn's going to show up at bowl time, you know, and I also want to see what's the pride level of the current Florida players. This is why I'm excited to see with some of these bowls, because like you said, when we were younger, there was no such thing as opting out.
Yeah, now, that word didn't exist.
You had a down season, way down, down so much that your coach was let go. Yeah. You have a new coach coming in. Like I've always said, there are seniors on every team in America who would rather their team win. They care more about winning than they do their own livelihoods, especially those seniors who many of whom may never play another football game.
True.
What's the pride level of those Florida seniors?
That's a good question. It's a trap game, and what's worse than a trap game that's inside your own state?
Yeah, right? So getting trapped in your own house.
It's a double trap.
You got booby trapped.
Knowing Gus Malzahn is very good at getting time off and throwing everything at you in one game. He'll pull out every trick play, no matter what, especially if the game that matters. You know, and if Billy Napier, you might not win this game, but you want to get the team behind you. You want to establish a little bit of culture in this game, right? Play a little different. Play the speed that Billy Napier wants you to play to, the attitude that Billy Napier wants to play to. But this is a trap game inside of a trap game.
It is, but I still like Florida.
This episode is brought to you by SunChips. SunChips are making it easy to snack a little smarter this year, so you don't have to give up your favorite snack. Reveal what else you're never going to give up in 2022 for a chance to win $1,000. Official rules at NeverGonnaGiveItUp.com. No purchase necessary. Enter by February 27th, 2022. 17 plus, 50 U.S., D.C., and PR.
This episode is brought to you by Death on the Nile, exclusively in theaters Friday. The greatest detective of all time, Hercule Poirot, returns to solve another deadly case. Join Poirot on a wild ride down the Nile River, promising luxury, intrigue, and murder. Grab your friends and get ready to solve this murder mystery on the big screen, starring Kenneth Branagh and Gal Gadot, premiering only in theaters Friday.
This episode is brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA. If you vape, you could be inhaling toxic metals into your lungs. To make you feel how scary that is, we could have gone to town with some real scary music, thrown in some zombie sound effects or some blood-curdling screaming and over-the-top shrieking. You get the point. But nothing is as scary as the facts. Vaping can deliver toxic metals like nickel and lead in your lungs. That's metal in your lungs. Read up about the dangers of vaping on therealcost.gov.
I still like Florida in this game because, look, at the end of the day, when you look at UCF, Dylan Gabriel's not walking through that door.
Sure.
And UCF's not the same team without him. Dylan Gabriel's actually never walking through the UCF door again. Yeah. He's hit the transfer portal like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. But when I look at this game, I do think Florida's going to get up. I think they're better than they are up front. I think Billy's going to be able to rally the troops as much as you've been able to. Because, look, he just won the Sun Belt Championship. So to me, while everybody is going to be talking UCF and UCF, and it is a trap game, and that's exactly right, I still do like Florida. And you say Gus Malzahn in bowl games. I've seen Gus Malzahn in bowl games. It's not good. You can go to Northwest. You can go back and look at Northwestern. Hell, I'll give you a great example. The team he's coaching now, UCF.
Sure.
In 2017, Gus Malzahn tends to, if it's not Alabama in a big game, find a way to not do a good job. And that's just the MO of Gus Malzahn.
This game, kind of projection spread-wise, it's 7.5 Florida.
Look, I'm telling you, I like Florida. I like the Gators here. But no, I love the matchup.
You know, we think of the Holy Trinity of the Sunshine State in Florida. Florida, Miami, and Florida State. Yep. But this could sort of be a trendsetter for the next 3 to 5 years.
It could.
You know what I mean?
Well, UCF's going Power 5, too, now. Yeah. We can't forget that. And you know what else, but, and I don't want to spend too long on this, but there's another school in Florida that I just don't understand how they're not better.
Let me guess.
Yeah, that's South Florida.
South Florida.
That's exactly right. It blows my mind. I remember Matt Grothy. Mm-hmm. I remember JPP South Florida. I watched South Florida come into Jordan-Hare and whip Auburn's ass with better players. They had two first-round corners. So, you know, again, that state with Mario in Miami, with Billy at Florida, I like Norvell. I still like the Norvell hire at Florida State. You know, you see those guys doing work in the portal as well. You had UCF. You had South Florida. I mean, heck, man, the Sunshine State, and it's great for football. I will keep going back to that. It's great for football.
I'm very bullish on the state. This will be the worst we've ever seen the state of Florida football, I think, you know, in terms of the Holy Trinity, all three being down.
I agree.
You got some monsters coming in there.
For sure.
Let's go to number four, one that we thought could maybe be a New Year's six game at the beginning of the year, which is Arkansas-Penn State.
Yeah, look, this is one. Right when this came out, I was licking my chops. Stylistically, because if you look at Arkansas, you're giving Kendall Briles a lot of time. You're giving him a chance to get healthy. This is humongous. For Arkansas hasn't been in this spot. You know, just think about it. I mean, last year, we look at Sam Pittman and what they did, and it's an amazing job this, that, and the other. Well, now you win eight games, and you're in a bowl against a team in Penn State that was ranked inside the top 10. So for the Arkansas fans, this is it almost feels like you're playing with house money, but Arkansas is dangerous. You want to know why? Because they are hungry. And I'm not saying that Penn State isn't, but Penn State's at a different point than Arkansas is right now. But when I look at the matchups on the field, I look it up front, and I just love it. I'm so excited to see Trey Williams. I'm so excited to see Grant Morgan at linebacker going against Penn State. This is going to be an old-school-style football game with a big quarterback in KJ Jefferson that can extend the field vertically. I'm very interested to see how well Arkansas is able to run the ball, even with Sam Pittman being the head coach. He's one of the smartest offensive line coaches in the country. They always find a way to run the ball. But this is going to be an old-school. You got a problem with me, I got a problem with you. Well, let's meet it outside and let's go find out who wants it more.
This is one of those few games that doesn't have any movement with the coaches.
Yeah,
you know, those
true.
Coaches are there and they're staying there. How do you think that'll affect this game?
Well, look, stability is a great ability. You know, you look around college football in general. I mean, right now, you look at the coaching carousel. Has it ever been crazier?
No.
Has the periphery with the transfer portal and NIL? So when you have a ton of chaotic things going around, typically the teams that are able to be the most stable, you've got both coordinators that have came back and with Kendall Bryant and Barry Odom. So you've got coaching stability, which is huge for the players, and that's why you're seeing Arkansas get guys like Jaden Hazelwood, the wide receiver from Oklahoma, the big-time guy that transferred, going to Arkansas to try and replace Burks. So when I look at this game, James Franklin, there was a lot of talk about him in USC. We talked about it on the show. I don't think he gave a great, you know, non-denial, but ended up getting that extension, ended up getting paid. But when you look at this game, you mix the stability with the physicality. This is one where if you got surround sound, turn the sound up and listen to the hitting that's going on and watch the level of effort that the Arkansas players play with. Because this, I mean, Grant Morgan came on our show and said, listen, we didn't want to be the group that kept Arkansas down. We wanted to put the state on our back. They've done it. Now you're playing a big-time team and a big-time game for them, and I guarantee you show up, and I like Arkansas.
You know, I love this game. As a former receiver myself, you get to watch Treylon Burks and Jahan Dotson go at it.
Yeah, dude, Jahan's really good, too.
And then you kind of look at the quarterback room with Sean Clifford and KJ. This is a perfect matchup to me. I couldn't have found a better two teams with a better matchup for this because they're on the opposite end, realistically, on the spectrum playing each other. So I think
think it comes back to the defense, what defense can play better, and which receiver kind of comes out a little bit more on top. And I'm going with Treylon Burks and the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, but I mean, and two, let's make sure we look at the KJ Jefferson and Clifford, Sean Clifford matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, these are two guys that are big-time players that are big in general. So again, I'm very interested. I just feel like, especially in this bowl game, that it is going to be low scoring. Yeah. It's going to be physical. They're going to say, all right, when we take our shots, we're going to find Treylon if you're Arkansas. You're going to find Jahan. If you're Arkansas in the secondary and you're those guys in the back end, you got to stop five. You stop Penn State.
Yeah, absolutely.
You stop five, you stop Penn State. Mm-hmm. Now, Arkansas's got a couple more weapons, in my opinion, mm-hmm. Than Penn State does. But if you stop five, yep. You stop Penn State. We've seen it. The games Penn State's won or yep. scored a lot of points. Jahan Dotson's out there, you know, making crazy moves like a Jackson right. Pollock. Jackson Pollock painting out there.
You better put three on him. Okay, you better put three on him.
You might as well. And you know what? Cover the tight end.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think this game's going to have the nuance in this game is which quarterback's feet is going to be more important.
For sure.
Because Clifford can run a little bit.
He can. Oh, he's sneaky athletic.
And KJ, obviously, with Browse, is going to be in that game, in the quarterback run, you know. That's what I think is going to be the difference almost in this game is which quarterback on kind of those third downs can extend it with their feet and yeah. get those first downs. I do think this will be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think first downs will be
all right, let's move on. At one point in the season, we thought Kenneth Walker was a shoo-in for the Heisman Trophy, right? Didn't end up being a finalist, but Kenny Pickett is, right? So Pitt, Michigan State. Bowl matchup.
Can I just say something first? Why does Pittsburgh stay with like the most contradictory names? You had a kicker named Corey Blewett, and now you have a quarterback named Kenny Pickett. What do you got? Did they just sign a Rumble recruit called Ronnie Fumbled It?
I think if you told him he would end up throwing more touchdowns at Pittsburgh than Dan Marino, I think he'd say, yeah. "Call me whatever you want."
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Kenny Pickett at quarterback and Corey Blewett at kicker. It's like I said, what is the coach's name? It's like, oh, they just hired Ron Lose Every Gangstein.
This is John on fire.
So, but when you look at matchups, and we saw what Ohio State did to that Michigan secondary. Yeah. In some states, is a felony
Michigan
offense.
State?
Yes, what they did to Michigan State. Not Michigan.
Yeah.
You good?
Got to correct you.
You good? Yeah. What they did to that Michigan State secondary, this could not be a worse matchup. There's only one worse matchup to me, and we didn't even have it in the top five, and that's Missouri and Army, because Missouri couldn't tackle a math problem in a second grade classroom right now on defense, and you're about to get the triple option. So when I look at what Pittsburgh, and Kenny's not going to win the Heisman, but they're going to throw it about 60 times in this game. Mm-hmm. He may throw. Kenny Pickett may throw for 600 yards. Like, y'all think I'm kidding? This may be a road to glory situation. You know, put it on varsity, juice the numbers up. Let's get him to Bama to start as a freshman. But he's going to put up incredible numbers in this game. I don't see, unless Michigan State plays with 12, and then I don't even think that would help him in the back end, how they're going to stop the Pittsburgh offense. Now, Kenneth Walker against Pittsburgh defense, he'll dance. It'll be dancing with the stars out there. I mean, he'll make them look silly. But to me, I think Pittsburgh's going to outscore him. I don't see Michigan State stopping him unless Kenny Pickett lives up to his last name.
I think it'll be a close one, man. I think it'll be a good one. Obviously, I mean, Pickett is a monster, but you know, we saw how they were up early on North Carolina. North Carolina came fighting back with Sam Howell.
Yep.
You know, let's just see. Michigan State is a blue collar, tough football team. I think that these are the type of ones that they come in with pride. Just how we were talking about Arkansas from the SEC. I don't think bowl games are something that Michigan State overlooks and takes for granted.
Yeah, especially when you just drop $95 million on a head coach. But before we move on, though, Blaine. With the time off you have to prepare for the bowl game, and I always think about this, and coming off what I just said, I still believe what I said, but if you're the Michigan State secondary, all you're going to hear for 25 days is how these guys are going to torch you.
Yeah,
how it's going to be Ohio State. And I've said it since the Prometheus episode of this show, since the spaceship landed, that there is nothing more motivating to an 18 to 22-year-old that as competitive as these guys are, than being embarrassed in front of your friends.
Without a doubt.
Like, that's just a real thing. So, I agree.
I'm more interested in the game plan that could come with on defense. Because if you're Michigan
State,
too high, too deep?
If you're Michigan State, do you sit back? Do you sit back and try to put another guy in coverage? Or do you kind of, do you pick it up? Mm-hmm. Right, you make him make quick decisions because this Pittsburgh team on defense has not been terrible. Their defensive line has not been bad. Right, Jordan Addison and Kenny Pickett, that's his go-to guy. Mm-hmm. Right, so maybe you double Addison, maybe you make him find another weapon to go to. But I think this is going to be huge for a game planning standpoint from Michigan State. What do you do?
Yeah, I think you got to mix it.
I heat him up.
I mean, I think you almost play it like the way teams have been playing the Chiefs a little bit as well, though. You put those two. I said, because, look, Pittsburgh is not a, we're going to throw the hitch all the way down the field.
No.
You know, this isn't a quick game you to death. Yeah. Pittsburgh is, hey, listen, chicks dig the long ball while I'm swinging for the fences. That's what Pittsburgh does.
You see
Close
Kenny
my eyes and throw
this
it.
Year somewhat in pressure, getting pressured, make mistakes.
Yeah, and I do want to say this because we didn't talk about it yesterday. The fake slide should be taken
that's
out of
illegal.
The game.
That
should be taken out of the
game. Coach right
well,
there.
You can't do that.
Like, you can't, because again, and if you saw it, and I'm not, look, if you know the cheat code, run the cheat code. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But you can't fake slide, and then the defender, who if he hits you, if you slide, they're going to put him in prison for 30
They're
years.
They're too penalized on defense
like
to be able to
do that. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, he hit literally the stanky leg on old dude from Wake Forest, and both of them stopped.
Dirty. It was dirty.
It was a nice little fake move. Now, I have no problem with whether it's quarterback, running back, guys looking like he's about to run out of bounds, and he pulls up, and then he hits
fine.
Up. That's totally fine. But when you start to fake slide, and look, we can talk about should it be a 15-yard penalty?
Yeah.
You know, or should it be, you know, down where it was? To me, if you want to get out of the game, you got to penalize him for it. You penalize the defense for it. Hell, on defense, we can't do anything. We can't even look twice at y'all past a Tuesday, or it's a holding.
Yeah, keep your eyes off us.
Yeah,
okay?
Sorry, Code. There's a flag right there.
Let's move on to Oklahoma State and Notre Dame.
Yeah. See, this one is, look, Oklahoma State.
This is a good one, man.
Yeah, I look at this, and I really feel like Notre Dame is going to have a very, very tough time scoring points against Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Oklahoma State is coming off a game in which, let's be honest, guys, they threw four interceptions. If Oklahoma State plays like they've been playing, they win that game. They win that game. I know the Shapen kid from Baylor came in and looked pretty good, but Baylor didn't score a point in the second half. Now, they've ran his defense. They played great, this, that, and the other. But when I look at this matchup, Oklahoma State is going to be 13 flavors of pissed. Notre Dame, who they played? Cincinnati, and they got beat. I don't know if we know about Notre Dame.
Sure.
I don't know if we know. So Oklahoma State's been a lot more tested than Notre Dame has. And look, it's not like this isn't a big game for Oklahoma State.
I get that, but is there an element that they were 4 inches away from the playoff, right? And that there's a letdown after that because they were shooing for it. And then on the other side of that, I saw that video from the Notre Dame locker room when Marcus Freeman was announced. They are fired up. That's who they wanted. That's who they got. Is there an element that those two combinations could lead to a Notre Dame win here?
Yep. Look, to me, this is a pick 'em. It's a true pick 'em. To me, I'm looking at the under. I'll get you in a second, but think about this: if you're Marcus Freeman, your first head coaching job is Notre Dame, and your first game is a New Year's Six bowl. That's pretty neat.
Put that in the contract.
Well, Notre Dame right here. Kind of the odds are going to have out. Notre Dame is going to be -2.5.
Ooh, what's the over under? The over under.
The over under is 44.5.
Ooh,
so
they always
do this. I think Notre Dame will get up for this game. And you look at Oklahoma State, and their offense has never been just blowing the doors off of people. And I think Notre Dame's going to be inspired in this game. Notre Dame's getting a couple guys back, and I think Notre Dame's going to establish the run in this game. And Oklahoma State's not a team.
I like Kyron.
Oklahoma State's not a team that's built to come back, right?
Yeah.
They're just not built for that. And I do think they're going to play some inspired football.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. Look, Notre Dame's going to be flying around. That's a true element. Because, again, at the end of the day, especially when you're betting on games, shout out FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com, FanDuel Sportsbook. When you're betting on games, you have to understand the human element, too. So you're looking at Oklahoma State, like you said, coming off a just heart gut-wrenching loss.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame feeling like, hey, guess what? Our wife just left us for a more important guy. Now I'm about to go lose 30 pounds and become rich.
Yep.
That's what Notre Dame feels like with Notre Dame.
Let's go to our number one here. Another matchup where both coaches look like they're staying put. Okay? Baylor-Ole Miss.
You know, I we talked about this on the show, and shout out to the Booster Club. They always talk about this as well. I love when you get opposite identities that play each other.
Yep.
Lane Kiffin. Rambunctious all over social media, offensively spitting it left and right. Mm-hmm. Him and Jeff Lebby, who you know may or may not be going to Oklahoma, getting into the lab, you know, putting liquid paper on a bee, seeing what happens. Then you got Dave Aranda, who doesn't say a word the whole game. You want to see what Dave Aranda does? This is Dave Aranda for four quarters. Hold on.
That's it.
Legitimately.
He's just like water, like Bruce Lee said, just like water. And Baylor has an identity. Ole Miss has an identity. But here's the difference, fellas. Here's the difference. Ole Miss, a lot healthier. Okay. As healthy as they have been, I think Ole Miss
blows the doors off of Baylor.
Really?
I think they blow the doors off of them.
Well, if that's Lane
got
the case,
the money, Lane got 7.25. Why not? Run the reverse flea flicker, David.
If that's the case, I mean, my father and I were watching the Big 12 championship. And we're like, isn't it amazing that the Big 12 champion is now going to be picked between one of two teams that both have great defenses in Baylor and Oklahoma State, right? Like, this is amazing because we've seen the offense.
World.
So if Ole Miss blows the doors off there, which was one of the better defenses in the Big 12, that's just a testament to where those defenses are.
Is that game on turf, too? Is that game on turf? Because if it's on turf, it's going to be even worse.
It's in the Superdome.
It's in the Superdome. Guys, I'm telling you right now. What is it?
51.
What's the spread?
Spread Ole Miss looking -3.
Oh.
Right. I think
listen, go to your parents' room. Lift up the mattress. You take that $100 and you go put it on Ole Miss -3 right now.
And you don't play blackjack with it.
And you don't play blackjack with it, which we'll get into later.
In this game, I think almost as simple, and it's Matt Corral.
Yes.
That's going to be the difference
in this game.
Right? And they're going to be healthy. You're on turf. Lane just got paid. The offense is figured out. Everybody knows what they're doing. And Baylor, realistically, has not been the entire year being able to score points.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Look,
they
and Ole Miss's, haven't. Look, Ole Miss's defense, is DJ Durkin, has done one. And look, they have better personnel than they did 2 years ago. But DJ Durkin sneakily has had a really good year as a DC. Not enough people are talking about it.
I want to give you a bonus one real quick. Oregon-Oklahoma, real quick, is one that caught my eye. Now, I know there are going to be a lot of opt-outs, right? And you had coaches leave both programs. But, like I said, you're always going to have players on a team who are vying for spots next season who may look at this bowl game as a chance to say, let me impress that new staff coming in.
Yeah. No, look, it's funny because, you know, Oklahoma lost Lincoln to USC, as you mentioned. Oregon still looking for a coach after Mama called Mario and he went home to Miami. Number one, I like the under. I like the under. But to me, an Oregon will name a coach, and we can get there when it happens. But this is a huge start for Brent Venables. I want to see how he is on the sideline. Because at Clemson, you know, he's ripping and roaring and this, that, and the other. I always find it fascinating. And we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the game and the win the water cooling inside. But I always find it fascinating watching a guy that is that energetic on the sideline as an assistant, as a coordinator. Does that travel as a head coach? What type of head coach are you going to be? I mean, we've had multiple head coaches on here. Hell, we had Shane Beamer on here before the year saying, listen, I don't know what type of head coach I am because this is my first time doing it. Yep. Am I going to be a CEO type head coach? Am I going to be a guy that's got my hand in everything? And he's like, man, this is the first time I've been able to walk around practice and watch everybody. Typically, I'm coaching a position group. So I always find it fascinating seeing how it translates from assistants to head coaches because I think Venables keep that energy, and I think I'll continue to say it. I think it was a smart move by Oklahoma. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you're one offensive coordinator higher away from being extremely good.
Yeah,
right. Because that defense immediately you set that defense.
Oh, they're going to eat.
They're fine.
They're going to
eat. Right now, Venables there. You built the foundation for that defense, and even if it's not Levy, you find somebody who can put up points because, you know, if you're Oklahoma, if you give up less than 30 points a game, almost 25 points a game, you should win that game because you're Oklahoma and you're known for doing what?
Scoring points.
Have the big quarterback. That's who you are. So now you do a complete 180. You bring Venables in here. Let's set up this defense, and now we're one higher away from being maybe that team that can get back in the playoff and make a difference and actually win a game in the playoff because you're not giving up 50 points a game when you play an actual decent team on offense.
Yeah, and I do, before we wrap up here, we're going to do a bowl pick'em.
I love it.
All right, we are going to do a bowl pick'em for all the bowls. Winner will get some merch, maybe some cash. We'll figure it out. We'll go into Blaine's Piggy Bank, see how much we got there. But make sure you sign up for that. I'll have the details released out on social media. Do want to give a huge thanks again, like I said, to the National Football Foundation, Matthew Sine, Phil Marwill, all the guys down here, the awards dinner, the guests that we've been able to have. It's been unbelievable. My first time in Vegas. Hit your first time in Vegas?
It is.
Cone's 38th time in Vegas.
No, I'm just kidding.
but no, it's been fantastic. We really appreciate everybody. Make sure you subscribe to the Volume YouTube channel. And yes, we are back live tomorrow. We were going to go live today, but we had such an influx of guests that we wanted to make sure we got all of it. And we've got so much content in the tank. It's unbelievable. So make sure you go to the Volume YouTube channel, subscribe, hit that notification button to let you know, hit that like button as well. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 3 to 4 Eastern, only on the Volume YouTube channel. And like our pre-recorded shows for a long time, we're going. Gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn. Associate producer, Blaine Crane. Audio engineer, Faison Sharif. Executive producers, Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn. Voiceover announcer, Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m.
When the water cooler with the J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.